what you put in, you get out, I think. So if you actually want to get something out of tonight, then you just pray your little heart out. How does that sound? God, we just thank you that you are here tonight, God, that you are above all things, God, that you created us, that you love us, God. And tonight, God, we just come before you, God, and we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, God, you would soften our hearts, God, and that you would change us tonight, Lord. Yeah, God, we just we ask, God, that you would speak to us tonight, God. Amen. Amen. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I was, you know, it's just fun making you stand up because I'm standing up and it's hot, so I figured. All right. Now, tonight's message did not actually have a title, but the generous Kevin Towns thought that he would give me a title, so you can write it down. And I think he did pretty well in the 10 seconds that he had. Pressure's on now, isn't it? Okay, I don't think I can say it with as much gusto, but it is, who on earth is God? No, I can't do earth like you do. God is an inclusive God. All right, there you go. That's my best interpretation. All right. Are there any budding chefs here or anyone who thinks that they're a bit of a good cook? Yeah, you think you're all right? Well, I'm not amongst you. I'm a fairly average cook. Sorry? I do, but that actually comes pre-mixed in a packet. I didn't tell you that before. Yes. Confessions. I'm pretty much a one-meal woman. If you ever come to my house for a meal and you don't get risotto, you should be worried because chances are there's going to be something really wrong with it. Okay, so just be prepared. Now, there's many different types of food, which is awesome, so you don't really get bored. But with food, there's something of an order to food. You know, you have, say you've got, oh, these are a bit low, that's all right. You've got eggs. I could play catch tonight, but I thought I probably shouldn't. No, I won't. You have eggs. Now, eggs, you generally keep them with eggs, not with flour. Flour, and I am a home brand girl, keep with flour. You don't kind of mix it in with salt and sugar. You keep it in the cupboard in a sort of order, in a place where you can find it. You know, keep meat in the fridge, not in the cupboard, and keep sugar in the cupboard, not in the fridge. So there's something of an order to all the different types of food that there is in the world. You know, the current population of the world as of last night, according to Google, my best friend, was 6,806,739,126. I'm sure that's changed in the last 24 hours, but how big is that? It's like, whew, big, very big. You know, I kind of think that people sometimes, a little bit like food, bear with me, I'll get to a point. But there's so many people and there's so many different types of people and we sort ourselves into groups, you know. We sort ourselves into, you know, friendships groups and social groups and, you know, by our ages, by our interests, by our gender, by our culture. We find our little place and our little group of friends and we kind of sort ourselves into that. And, you know, relationship is at the essence of who we are as people and God created us to have relationship. And, you know, there's so many things in life that we wouldn't enjoy nearly as much without it. And I think that, you know, we're kind of like ingredients and bits of food in life. We sort ourselves, depending on our characteristics, into our little groups and our little friendship groups. And sometimes we do it intentionally and often it just kind of happens. And the thing about food is it's such a simple thing when it's all together and like your eggs are just eggs, your flour's just flour, your water's just water, and you know they're all separate. But the point that it actually gets a bit interesting for me with food is when I have to put it together, when there's the different things and you measure them and you put them together, and that's where it all goes a bit wrong for me. Now, the thing is with this little egg in here, which I'm not really going to throw at anyone. If I was going to throw it at anyone, it probably would be Jen, but I'm not. That would be why, completely. But this egg, by itself, is fine. It's an egg. It does its job. It's pretty cool hanging out with all the other eggs. But the point for this egg and that flower to actually become something bigger and better and more extraordinary, do you know what that actually takes? It takes them actually these other ingredients mixing together. So you can keep all your little eggs in your egg thing and you can keep all your flour all together, and that's good and fine. And you don't really necessarily always want to have them mixed together. But the point that this becomes more than an egg and it becomes like a chocolate cake is when you actually take that egg and you mix it with other things. Do you know what? I think that, you know, we're quite like this in that, you know, we set ourselves into little groups, our little groups that we just kind of, they're quite comfortable and they work quite well for us. The point where it gets a bit messy is when we actually have to get out of those little groups and mix with people who maybe aren't the same age or don't have exactly the same interests or, you know, don't have the same characteristics that we share. But you know what? That's actually, you know, we often miss out on the fullness of life, that extra extraordinariness that could be possible if we actually would mix with people who are a little bit different and who weren't in our normal little group or who weren't, you know, the same age as us or who weren't from the same cultural background as us or, you know, there's so many different things and it's quite comfortable in our little group sometimes and we miss out on all that opportunity. Now, I'm not even following my notes at all, so I'm just going to have a bit of a squiz and see where we're going because it's good to go somewhere. Yeah. I know. Okay, have you ever cooked something and you have missed out a vital ingredient? I'd like to say no, but I have. A couple of years ago, actually, myself and my housemate were going to dinner at a friend's house. They were going to cook the main course. We were going to cook dessert. We decided quite late in the evening that we probably should start on this. And we flicked through this recipe book and we found this amazing, like, caramel tart custardy thing. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was cool. And so we thought, oh, yeah, we'll cook it. This will be amazing and I think that we are incredible. Now, third try of making this omelette, there was a couple of unfortunate things that happened on the first two tries. We actually got it quite right and we ended up with this amazing looking caramel thing that you tip out and all this caramel sauce runs over it, and I wish I had taken a photo because it was amazing. It was like the picture in the thing but better because it was there. And we got to these people's house and we tipped it out and we were like, we are so amazing, just look at that, it's so good, it's so much better than your main course. Oh, you know, humbleness as always, pride comes before a fall. We sat down and took a mouthful only to find out that this custard was missing a vital ingredient, which was sugar, which made it an omelette with fairly burnt caramel sauce running down it. So that situation ended quite badly, but it looked amazing. If only we'd never eaten it, no one would ever have known. But the thing is, it looked great, but because that ingredient was missing, you know, it was never going to taste that good and it was never going to be what it was actually meant to be or what it could be. You know, we actually need to be actively including other people in our lives and actually spending time with people outside of our little groups. You know, it's great to have those friendship groups, but we need to be, you know, getting outside of those and spending time with people that are different from us, and, you know, because they would just do so much for our lives and we will grow as people in that. And, you know, if you read in the Bible, Jesus was the ultimate includer. You know, while all those around him, you know, the teachers and the Pharisees and, you know, even his disciples would be like, ah, oh, come on, you know, we've got to get to this place. You know, why are you chin-wagging with these people? You know, get them to go away. Jesus would always stop and he would, you know, his response would always be to include and to love these people. And I want to read to you from 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. And I love these verses. We've actually got these verses painted on these massive canvases for youth, and I just, oh, it's really cool. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Wow, that's pretty cool. So, you know, as we actually can love other people, you know, we actually, our relationship with God actually deepens. And, you know, some it's so hard to love people in ourselves. And I know that, you know, people, you know, bug me all the time in, you know, not so good way sometimes and other times a good way. And, but, you know, like when I'm relying on my relationship with God, like I can actually love people that maybe, you know, 5 years ago I wouldn't have been able to love. Just not because they've got any major faults, but simply because, hi Jen, I love you too, but simply because, you know, God has enabled me to do that. I just need to get the help of a couple of people, and I'm going to choose young people, not because I've got anything against anyone who's not young, but simply mean little people. So Jed, I saw that hand and I was going to pick on you anyway, and I might go Molly, and can you guys grab those cardboard boxes for me? That would be exceptional. Need to take note of these cardboard boxes, generously donated by Hobart City Council, the Aquatic Centre. I'm not sure if they know they donated them, but make sure you send them a friendly letter thanking them anyway. Maybe don't. Okay, it's okay. You're quitting soon anyway, Jen. They'll never know. All right, I'm just going to get you guys to stick these boxes on your head. Jed, you're going to have to push that down to get it on, all right? Okay, now, I've been thinking a little bit. You just need a girl to help you with this. Can you take it off? Can I borrow? Hannah, could you just give them some instruction? Because Molly can't. She's got no hands. Just wait. There's a girl coming to help. All right. Why they fix themselves up? Oh, good. He's retrieved his head. Yeah. Okay. You need to... Excellent work. Okay, you guys can just stand there for a second because I was going to say all this stuff while you got them on and I just got too distracted. I've been thinking about the reasons that sometimes it's really hard to connect, you know, outside of those little groups that we have. And do you know what? I think that often we put people in boxes and we might not even think that we do, but we just kind of, we see people from the outside and we see people, you know, as fitting a certain group, or that they've got their group and we've got our group, and we put people in boxes such as these lovely, what are they, boxes of? I don't know. Ice cream cups. We put people in boxes of ice cream cups. But in all seriousness, we don't. But we put people in these boxes, and I'll talk a little bit about what those boxes are. You know, they can be the ages, they can be, you know, where you grew up, they can be, you know, so many different things, even your personality. But we, in our mind, without us even stopping to think about it, we're like, oh, that person's not the person who would normally fit into my group. And so then we put this box around them. And do you know what happens when you put a box around someone? It's really hard to get close to them. Now, these guys are brother and sister, so it shouldn't be too much for me to ask for them to give each other a hug without it being awkward and like I'm trying to set anyone up. Hey, I mean in a loving way, like you actually want to hug each other, not like warfare. All right. Thanks, guys. You've illustrated my point really, really well. You may exit with your boxes if you want to keep them. So you get my point. When we start to see people, you know, in a certain way, if we start to actually put them in those boxes, not physical boxes, but without even realising, if we've put them in a little box, then it's so hard to actually have any kind of a connection with someone when you have boxed them into, oh, well, you know, they're from Launceston. They're from Deloraine, you know, or, you know, I'm 23 and they're about 60. So, you know, we're probably not going to go to the movies together because that would just be weird, you know. Like, I'm just going to let that one go. Oh, okay. You know, but we put people in these boxes and as soon as that happens, you know, even if we go, oh, no, I'll try and, you know, get close to them or whatever, build a connection with them. You just can't. You saw how much those guys struggled. And I just want to talk a little bit about what kind of boxes that... Yeah. Now, the first thing that we do, it can often be just prejudice. You know, you can, without even thinking, I know the world talks a lot about, you know, oh, racism and this and that and women and men and all kinds of things, and I'm kind of stepping away from that. But even just talking about inside the church, we don't... you know, you don't necessarily look at someone and go, oh, well, I don't like them because they're from here or because they're this age or, you know, they grew up in Warrain, and I lived in Warrain for a bit so I can say that. But, you know, but in our, inside our head, if we're really, really honest, you know, that little box kind of just happens a little bit and we might not even be aware of it. And, you know, and age is such a big thing, and it's something I'm really passionate about is, you know, like, I'm a bit biased and I love hanging with the young guys in the youth ministry, but I'm just so passionate about, you know, seeing those guys get really connected with the wider church body and with, you know, the older people in our church who can speak words of wisdom into their life and encourage them and get alongside them. And, you know, it's all very well for those guys to hang out with each other, and it's all very well for, you know, all the young couples to go out and have what they do, what they have, dinners and things, and, you know, and, you know, and the 35 pluses to go do their things as well. And that's cool because it's important to build those relationships too. But let's actually try and break out of that sometimes and actually go, oh, you know, there's a young Hannah. She's pretty cool. I'll go up to her and encourage her. And bearing in mind that you've always got to be the person being the active one in that. Don't wait for someone else to come up to you and do that, because you don't know where that person is in life and you don't know, you know, what they might be thinking or feeling. Like, I remember probably when I was Hannah's age, for me to go up and have a conversation with a random adult in church, and probably even now, terrifying. Like, well, you wouldn't realise how scary you are in a good way. But, you know, so don't be the person who waits, you know, for someone else to come, but actually be outward and go and do that. Completely off point, Mother Teresa, this is a quote of hers that I love. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. And it's so true, eh? Another way that we can box people a little bit is our insecurities. You know, it's easy to kind of see something that someone else has, or, you know, someone else might be doing something that we'd really love to do. And it's just like something inside of it's just, I don't know, I think we all have these moments where you just, you don't want to get close to that person because, man, they've got what you'd really like to have. And it's really hard to break out of that, and it's really hard to actually push past that. And, do you know, I was in Melbourne a while back and just sitting in a park, not doing much, it was a nice day, and I was just watching this little girl and her dad just playing around in the park, and there was this big tree and she really wanted to get up it. And so her dad lifted her up and popped her on the tree and then, you know, put her on his shoulder so she could climb up. And then he kept trying to climb up to be up there with her, but for the life of him, he could not get up there because it was quite high. And I watched as he, you know, walked around the tree and he kept trying to get up there. And, you know, this little girl's like, come on, daddy, you know, get up here, what are you doing, kind of thing. But he couldn't get up there. But I just, as I watched this man put this little girl up there to the place that he couldn't go, I was just got this, oh, God just really said to me, that's the way we need to be in our lives. You know, actually lifting people up and putting them in this place, even if we can't get there ourselves, even if, you know, like they have to climb on top of us to get there, you know, we should always be willing to do that. And, you know, we actually have to check ourselves and our own hearts and go, oh man, is this just my own insecurity that doesn't want me to be connected to this person because they're going somewhere that I can't go? And the third thing is probably the biggest of all, and it's personality. Ooh, you know, we're all so different, you know, and I reckon that for every personality type, there is pretty much a polar opposite, you know, like those little magnets that you get, and instead of them going, they like actually push them apart. I reckon for every personality type in the world, there is someone completely the opposite. And it's so easy to kind of go, oh man, you know, for whatever reason, just because they're the opposite from you, I can't deal with this person's personality. I'm just going to walk, you know, they're coming down this aisle of church, I'll just duck around and walk up the other aisle. Now, don't act like you've never done that. I'm sure that all of you have done that once, honestly. Now, you know, you don't actually necessarily have to be best friends with everyone, and it's not what I'm talking about, but, you know, these people that are different from us, do you know how much they bring into our lives? And I actually, I think I heard someone say this like years ago and just talk about those people in your life who are so different from you that maybe it's not all that comfortable for you to spend time around. It's kind of like sandpaper, and it rubs away the rough edges on us when we actually spend time with people who are different from us, and it actually smooths them out and actually makes us all the better. Like, how awesome is that? And that, you know, for me, when someone said that a few years ago, that just went, that's so right. That's so right. Like, and it is almost, in some ways, it's kind of a little bit of a selfish way of looking at it, but that works in reverse as well for them. And so I just want to encourage you guys to think about that. You know, like, God created us all with different personalities. He created us all to exist in different ways and to find some stuff hilariously funny while you just think that is so unfunny. But, you know, like, God created us like that, and it's actually really good for us to spend time around people that are different from us. If I haven't already said that, I feel that I may have. Okay. I just have a couple of points on ways that we can actually really actively be inclusive and actively build each other up. I'm racing through this. I'm just going to take a drink because that will slow me down. Yeah. Feel free to drink if you have one. Drinks break. Anyone with orange quarters or something? No, I don't. My hands are fine. Cool. So ways that we can actually be really inclusive of people and build other people up. Language is such an important thing. You know, be careful that we don't label people. And I say that, you know, and there's even just terms in society that we use that are descriptive. But as soon as we say them, it actually like labels people. And, you know, and I'll say this only because I'm using an example and I actually hate this word, but like bogan, and people say that and, you know, it paints a picture, but you've just labelled that person and you've just, you know, and some people carry that with pride and that's fine, but look at your heart in how, you know, where the words come from that we say and how we put people in groups and how we speak about people. And because as soon as you label them, then you just, it's like that whole box again and you just can't connect with them. You know, always build others up. You know, it's so easy sometimes to feel like we need to take each other down a peg or two. It's such a tempting thing sometimes. And it's just, it's not godly and it's not what God has for us. He wants us to be building each other up, encouraging each other always. You know, be inclusive in the conversations that you're having. It's easy kind of when you're in a bit of a group with friends you know quite well to have a conversation about, you know, a particular topic that you all know really well, but maybe there's a new person there or maybe there's someone that you should be bringing in. But if you guys talk about this one thing that everyone knows about except that one person, then you're actually excluding that person whether you realise it or not. And to be that person, and I have been that person, I'm sure each and every one of you have been that person, is a pretty small kind of place to be. And we don't want to be like that. We want to be including people always. So just think about that, you know, when you're in a group, who can you bring into that group? You know, who can you actually include and how can you include them in that conversation? All right. Second thing is to be purposeful. Just want to read to you from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. And most of you hopefully would have heard this story before as the Good Samaritan. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbour? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was travelling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbour to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Now, in church we hear that story a lot, and you know, there's lots of different kind of slants that are put on that story, and reading it, generally the emphasis is put on, you know, the fact that you wouldn't expect the Samaritan to stop and do something. You would expect, you know, the priest or the Levite to stop and do something, not the person who was, you know, the enemy of the Jew. But when I read that, you know, I was actually looking at the fact that this priest and this Levite, they actually didn't do anything wrong, really. Like, they did go and kick the boot in as they walked past. They didn't, you know, tip something on him. They didn't call out and say, "You suck because you're lying on the side of the road." You know, they actually didn't physically or verbally or anything do anything wrong. But they didn't do anything, you know, and is a negative action towards someone so much worse than inaction? You know, you read that, and we don't make consciously decisions to separate other people out. But, you know, I don't know, sometimes how much worse is that when we actually don't take any action to include others? You know, and when you read that story, we look at that and we look at their inaction and we go, "Oh, that's so shocking and that's, you know, so bad and everything." But it wasn't that they did anything. They just didn't do anything. And how often in our own lives can we be like that? You know, there's an opportunity and we just don't do it. But we go, "Oh, well, someone else will do it." But, you know, I don't know. Is that really that much better than doing something worse? You know, we need to be purposeful. You see, we kind of say, "Oh, yeah, you know, I don't really have the kind of personality that's outgoing and will go and chat with everyone left, right and centre really naturally and easily." And, you know, some people are really gifted to have that kind of personality. But, you know, a great deal others aren't. But that's actually no reason or excuse, because we can always talk to someone and we can always include someone. And if you find that hard to do, then just practice. Like, you just do it. Anyone can do it. You know, you can talk to anyone. Like, oh, yeah, anyway, I won't get off on a tangent. But, you know, we just need to be purposeful, though. We actually need to think about it and do it. And, you know, it won't just happen. We actually need to be actioning this. You know, love is a choice. And we actually had an awesome time last week with the Unified guys. We did a bit of a thing on relationships, and it was really cool talking through relationships and the nuts and bolts of them, and it's pretty interesting stuff. But this point came up, which is so true, and that is that love is a choice. You know, we actually have to choose to love people who are different from us, and choose to love and not just say that we love them because it's what you say in church, but actually physically put action into that. And go and talk to them and go and include them and invite them to your house for dinner when you don't know them, you know. Like, honestly, like, you know, when was the last time that you've really done that? And I'm not saying to tell me, but, you know, we say, "Oh, yeah, invite people around." But do we actually do that? You know, do we actually physically go up to someone we don't know and invite them to our house or invite them to join our group? You know, it's a good thought, but without action. Without action, it doesn't go far. Can I just grab the band? That would be lovely. I love this verse in a bit further on in 1 John. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And yet he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. And I love the first part of that. You know, we love because he first loved us. You know, he did it first. He didn't wait for us to go to him. You know, he loved us regardless. And You know, I just want to encourage us tonight, just as I finish up, that, you know, God didn't wait. He didn't wait for us to go to Him. Now, let's not wait for other people to come to us. You know, let's be the first to welcome and the first to embrace people and the first to include people, the first to invite people. And, you know, it's awesome as we talk about this year and we look to this year and it's exciting. And Pastor Dave's talked a lot about this year being a year of growth, and I really believe that, and I'm really, you know, I'm starting to see that. But it's not going to happen unless we're going to be people who are willing to include others and willing to look for opportunities and actually be the first to do that, not wait for everyone else to do that first, but we will actually step out of ourselves and do that. You know, we love because He